This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillahirrahmanirrahim. The author then moves on to Kitab al-Taharati, the chapter of purification. But why purification? Why not begin with Salah? Is Salah not the most important pillar of Al-Islam after our testification? Yes, it is. But we cannot perform the Salah except that we require the key. What is that key? The key is our purification. You cannot perform your Salah, your Tawaf, you cannot touch the Noble Quran without being in a state of purification. And thus the author begins Kitab al-Taharati, the chapter of purification. Within this, he will talk about two types of purification. Purification from hadath and purification from najas. Purification from a state that where, for example, you require wudu or you require ghusl. This is not something which is visible. This is a state that a person is in. He will also talk about purification from physical impurities, from, for example, urine and blood, etc. He'll talk about the categories of water, and there are three according to majority of the scholars. He'll talk about the vessel that we keep the water in. He will then move on to the chapter of relieving oneself and the manners and etiquettes related to this matter. How does one cleanse oneself? What do you use to cleanse yourself? What is permissible? What's not permissible? He will discuss those matters. He will then move on to the matters pertaining to the siwak, cleansing of the mouth, and end of that chapter with the matters pertaining to circumcision. So we begin bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, Kitab al-Taharati. Wahiya irtifa'ul hadath wa zawalul khabath. It is the removal of hadath. Hadath is a state. You do not have wudu. That's your state right now. You are in a state of minor impurity. You do not have ghusl. The woman, her menses has ended. So she is in a state of major impurity. She requires a ghusl. Husband and wife were together in full intimacy and they are now in a state of janaba. And so they require taking a ghusl. This is not something physical. This is not something visible. This is a state that they are in. And they would require the usage of water to remove them from this state of hadath, to remove the barrier which is preventing them from performing salah, touching the Quran, making tawaf around the Kaaba, etc., etc. So it is the removal of hadath. Hadath is that state which prevents you from doing the salah, and elimination of khabath. Khabath, any type of physical impurity. So the urine, the blood, etc. We use water to cleanse and to remove and to sort out these matters. He states, وَالْمِيَاهُ ثَلَاثَةٌ. And water is three types. Number one, طَهُورٌ وَطَاهِرٌ وَنَجِسٌ. It is طَهُور, طَاهِر and نَجِس. And this is according to majority of the scholars. And it can get a bit complicated. And that's why there is a riwayah from Imam Ahmed, a narration from Imam Ahmed, and the opinion of Ibn Taymiyyah and others, that technically water is divided into only two categories, and they are Tahur and Najis. There's no middle category which is Tahir. But nonetheless, we stick to what the author states here. Water is divided into three categories. The first one, Tahur. What is this Tahur? هُوَ الْبَاقِي عَلَى خِلْقَتِهِ طَهُورٌ فِي نَفْسِهِ مُطَهِّرٌ لِغَيْرِهِ يَجُوزُ إِسْتِعْمَالُهُ مُطْلَقًا. Tahur is what remains in its original nature. Pure water. It is pure and purifying. It's pure and it can purify other matters. We use it for our wudu, for our ghusl. We use it to cleanse our garments. Any type of filth, najasa, impurity, there might be anywhere. We use this Tahur water to cleanse up this place. It's used for our hadath, it's used for the cleansing of the khabath, etc. Number two, tahir category. ما تغير كثيرٌ من لون كثير من لونه أو طعمه أو ريحه بطاهر. Tahir is a category of water that has changed a lot in its color, in its taste, or in its smell by something which is tahir. Example, we have a liter of water, we put in 3 tea bags, and now it's changed in its color or its taste or its smell. You have, for example, 2 liters of water and you drop in 1 liter of pure milk. Walhamdulillah, what happens? It has changed. This water has changed. So we don't call it tahur any longer. We call it tahir water. وَهُوَ طَاهِرٌ فِي نَفْسِهِ وَهُوَ طَاهِرٌ فِي نَفْسِهِ غَيْرُ مُطَاهِرٍ لِغَيْرِهِ. It is pure in and of itself. We call it milk water, we call it tea water, but it's not purifying. You cannot use it for your wudu or your ghusl. You cannot use it to cleanse any type of najasa, any type of impurity. The author then states, يَجُوزُ إِسْتِعْمَالُهُ فِي غَيْرِ رَفْعِ حَدَثْ وَزَوَالْ خَبَثْ. It is permissible to use it, except you cannot use it to remove a state of hadath, or you cannot use it to remove any khabath. You can drink it as tea, you can give it to the birds, you can feed the animals, you can do other stuff with it. The author then moves on to the third category of water, and najas. ما تغير بنجاسة في غير محل تطهير ويحرم استعماله مطلقا إلا لضرورة. Najis, is what has changed due to impurity entering into it. So there's some feces in it, there's some urine in it. It is now najis, except on the location being purified. Meaning that if there's some filth on the floor, and obviously I'm using pure water to cleanse this, the first drop of pure water to touch it, this here does not automatically turn into najis, because there's no other option, there's nothing else that one can do. So except at the location which is being purified, there it is still fine. It is absolutely impermissible to use unless in dire need. Somebody is dying of thirst. Can he drink this? No problem. Somebody has something stuck in his throat and he needs to drink something to, open up the passages to swallow this item. No problem, brother. Even this najasa, you can drink it because you need to save your life. The author then continues. والكثير قلتان فأكثر. And an abundant amount of water, a lot of water, is the amount which is قلتان or more, and a mere amount is anything less than that. Again, والكثير قلتان فأكثر واليسير ما دونهما وهما مئة رطل وسبعة أرطال والسبع رطل بالدمشق وما وافقه. According to the madhab, there is a distinction, there is a line which is drawn between a lot of water and a little water. What is that line? Where do we draw the line? We draw the line at qullatain. What is this qullatain? We find that contemporary scholars have differed, some of them stating it's 230 liters, some stating 191 liters, some between 350 and 500. Point is that according to the madhab, there is such a thing as a lot of water. The ocean, mashallah. Somebody urinates in the ocean. Is all of the water of the ocean now najis? No, absolutely not. There's a river, mashallah, a lot of water there, thousands and thousands of liters of water. Somebody throws in some feces. Is the entire, all of the water now najis? Absolutely not. Why? Because it's more than qullatain. It's a lot of water. But an amount which is less than qullatain, an amount of water, a body of water less than qullatain, if one drop of urine enters into it, then the entire amount is now regarded as impure. Even though you cannot see the urine, cannot taste the urine, cannot smell the urine, if the amount of water is a little, what is a little? A little is anything less than qullatain. What is this qullatain? Well, as we said, they differ. Some said 191 liters, some said 230 liters. Let's work with 230 liters. So an amount of water, 200 liters, mashallah, a kid urinated in it, this water is now regarded as najis. Why? Because it's a little bit of water and najasa has fallen into it. But if it was 250 liters and someone urinated into it, it would still be clean because it is a large body of water. This is obviously all according to the madhab. وكل إناء طاهر يباح اتخاذه واستعماله غير ذهب وفضة. The author states pure vessels are permissible to keep and use. Any type of utensil you can use, made out of wood, made out of whatever, you can use, keep your water in it for your wudu, your ghusl, etc. As long as it's not made out of gold or silver. Gold or silver, Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, a hadith in Bukhari and Muslim, that this is not permissible for us in this world, rather we will have it in the hereafter. Walhamdulillah. Faslun, the author moves on to another chapter, the chapter of istinja and istijmar. Istinja is when you are using water. Istijmar is the term when you are not using water, you are using toilet paper only, you are using stones, etc. Manners of the restroom. Istinja. Al-istinja izalatu ma kharaja min sabilin bima'in aw hajarin wa nahwihi. Wa huwa wajibun min kulli kharijin illa ar-riha wa at-tahira. غير ملوث. Istinja is the removal of what comes out of a tract. This is the privates, the front or the rear, with water or with stone. It is obligatory due to every excretion except flatulence. You pass wind, there's no istinja or istijmar required. A pure object. Someone, may Allah save us, that, he passed, example, a small tiny stone. And there was no moisture on the stone. It was just this pure object. It was just this object which came out, Jayid. And so here, technically, there's no washing required from him. غَيْرَ مُلَوِّثِ. So there was this tahir object, like a stone, which was released, and there was no moisture associated with it or attached to it. It was dry. The author continues, وَلَا يَصِحُ الْإِسْتِجْمَارِ إِلَّا بِطَاهِرٍ مُبَاحٍ يَابِسٍ مُنَقِّنٍ. That istijmar, it is not valid except that you need to use something which is pure. Something which is pure, it's clean. It's something which is permissible, it's not stolen. It's not something haram to use. It is dry, it is cleansing. It will do the job, basically. The author states, فَالْإِنْقَاءُ بِحَجَرٍ وَنَحْوِهِ أَنْ يَبْقَى أَثَرٌ لَا يُزِيلُهُ إِلَّا الْمَاءُ. That cleansing with a stone, etc. is completed, or with toilet paper, when nothing remains except traces only removable by water. So you were using toilet paper and you cleansed one time, you defecated, you cleansed one time, two times, three times, you required 4, 5, 7, 8, 9, mashallah. And now eventually you find that the toilet paper is coming out clean. Obviously we can agree that the area of the rear exit point, there's definitely some najasa which remains there. There's definitely small amounts of najasa there that the toilet paper cannot remove. You know, you might bleed, Allahu musta'an, which only water can remove. But this amount of najasa which is there around the rear exit point, this is overlooked. This is overlooked. And important to note that even though water might be available, you are allowed to only use toilet paper. No problem with that. Walhamdulillah. Obviously, the better option is to use water. In fact, you have three daraja. The best option is to use water and like toilet paper. Second option is to only use water. And the third option is to use only toilet paper. The author states, It is required. وَشُرِطَ لَهُ ثَلَاثُ مَسَّحَاتٍ فَأَكْثَرْ مُنْقِيَةٍ. It is required that there be three wipes. If you're only using toilet paper, you're only using stone, etc., minimum you need to wipe is three times or more, which cleanse the excrement. The excrement does not surpass its normal location. Important. Jayid. وَعَدَمُ تَعَدِّي خَارِجِ مَوْضِعَ الْعَادَةِ. That's... You are using the toilet paper, you use the toilet paper to remove the filth at the point of the exit. But if by mistake, some of the najasa brushed up against your thigh. Here you cannot use toilet paper to cleanse that place. Now you will have to use water here. You will have to use water here because the concession is given only to use toilet paper around the area of the exit, not beyond that point. Beyond that point, you would have to use water. وَبِمَاءٍ عُودَ الْمَحَلِّ كَمَا كَانْ وَظَنُّهُ كَافٍ. The author states that and that when water is used, it must completely clean the area for which its assumption is sufficient. We assume now that the area is totally clean. Walhamdulillah, that suffices. حرم بروث وعظم وطعام ولو لبهيمة ولا يصح وضوء ولا تيمم قبله. جيد. You must not use something which is impermissible. For example, you cannot use dung, you cannot use stones, bones, you cannot use food, including the food of animals, etc., feed of animals. You cannot use this to cleanse yourself. Neither wudu nor tayammum are valid before this cleansing. You need to do this cleansing. Then obviously you take your wudu or your tayammum. وَحَرُمَ لُبْثٌ فَوْقَ قَدْرِ حَاجَتِهِ. Some adab, some etiquettes. It is impermissible to stay in the toilet there longer than one requires. It is also impermissible تَغُوُّطُهُ بِمَاءٍ, to defecate in water, standing water, or even flowing water. You don't defecate in water. وَبَوْلُهُ وَتَغُوُّطُهُ بِمَرْوَةٍ وَبِطَرِيقٍ مَسْلُوكٍ. It's not permissible for you to defecate or urinate in a place, watering place. You know, there's an oasis here. People want to come. People want to benefit from this water. Or on a traverse path, pathway of the people. People will slander you. People will swear you. Who's the one who defecated or urinated here? Or under, a shady tree, place where there's shade. People want to benefit from this shade. وَتَحْتَ شَدِرَةٍ عَلَيْهَا ثَمَرٌ. Or under a fruit-bearing tree, يُقْصَد, where people go to it. وَاسْتِقْبَالُ قِبْلَةٍ وَاسْتِدْبَارُهَا بِفَضَاءٍ. And also, it is not permissible for you to face the Qibla or face your back towards the Qibla in an open space. But if it is in your home, this would be permissible because there's walls around. But still, even in the home, it is mustahab and recommended according to the madhab that you do not face towards the Qibla or face your back towards the Qibla. But outside in the open, it is impermissible. Whereas in the home, It would be permissible. The author then states, Faslun, chapter. Now he moves on to matters pertaining to the siwak. والسواك مسنون مطلقا. To use the miswak, it is recommended, absolutely recommended. But except, إلا لصائم بعد الزوال فيكره. Except after midday for the one who is fasting, it is makruh for such a person. Why? Because they feel that this smell which emanates from the mouth, this is beloved to Allah. And so you using the miswak, etc., you know, this is now you removing that type of odor which is beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Remember, ya ikhwan wal akhawat. Our explanation here is an explanation explaining the book, the text, according to the madhab of Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal. As for the details, as for the other riwayat from Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal, as for the other opinions of the other scholars, opinions outside the madhab, we are not delving into those matters. As we said, this is a simple text inshallah, and the explanation is going to be simple. And so, there might be certain masail that we might agree, we might not agree with, etc. But we are here to explain this text, and as we said, progression in our learning, insha'Allah. So, according to the madhab, using the miswak after zawal, this is makruh. وَيُبَاحُ قَبْلَهُ بِعُودٍ رَطْبٍ. And it is permissible before midday with a moist stick, though it is preferred with a dry one. وَيُسْتَحَبُّ بِيَابِسٍ وَلَمْ يُسِبِ السُّنَّةِ مَنْ إِسْتَاكَ بِغَيْرِ عُودٍ. And whoever uses something besides the miswak, the stick, then this person has not done what is recommended. This person has not done what is the sunnah. Then he states, وَيُتَأَكَّدُ عِنْدَ صَلَاتٍ. He talks about when should you be using the miswak? When is it recommended? Before Salah, and also before recitation, and also at the time of wudu. So it is emphasized before the prayer, before recitation of Quran, when making wudu. وَانْتِبَهْ مِنْ نَوْمْ, when you wake up from your sleep. وَدُخُولْ masjid, when you're entering the masjid. وَتَغَيُّرُ رَائِحَةِ فَمِنْ, when the smell in your mouth changes. وَنَحْوِهِ, etc. وَسُنَّ بُدَاءَةٌ بِالْأَيْمَنْ فِي السِّوَاكِنْ وَطَهُورٍ وَشَأْنِهِ كُلِّ, and it's recommended to begin with the right side for using the siwak, and also to begin with the right with your purification, your wudu, etc., and in all of your affairs, begin with the right that is best. He then states, وَالدِّهَانٌ وَاكْتِحَالٌ, likewise, is using oil on your hair, using oil on your beard, etc. All of this is recommended. Waqtihal is to put this kuhul in the eyes 3 times every night. This is also recommended. Wa nazarun fi mir'ah, and to look into the mirror to make sure that, you know, you are looking well. There's nothing dirty, etc., on your face. وَتَطَيُّبٌ, to use طيب, to use perfume, is recommended. وَاسْتِحْدَاد, and to shave the pubic region, this is recommended. وَحَفُّ شَارِبٍ, and to trim the mustache finely, according to the madhab, to shave the mustache, this is makruh. And so we trim it finely. وَتَقْلِيمُ ظُفُرٍ, and to cut the fingernails. وَنَتْفُ إِبْطٍ, and to pluck the hairs of the armpits, or to shave the hairs of the armpits to remove this. Also, according to the madhab, this is recommended on the day of Friday. Then on the day of Friday before Jumu'ah, you know, we do this. وَيَجِبُ خِتَانُ ذَكَرٍ وَأُنْثَى, and it is an obligation to circumcise both the male and the female. عِنْدَ بُلُوغٍ, at the time of puberty. Obviously, at the time of puberty, it becomes the obligation. But before puberty, you could have done this. And so when the kid is 10 days old, 15 days old, etc., you have him circumcised, you know, that would be an appropriate good time to do it. But once they reach bulugh, by now, it is now wajib, you know, you have to do it. And according to the madhab, it is an obligation upon the male and the female. وَزَمَنُ صِغَرٍ أَفْضَلٍ, and while they are young, it is better. There's also a riwayah, and also the opinion of Ibn Qudama rahimahullah, that it is not wajib upon the female, rather it is recommended upon the female. Walhamdulillah, mashaAllah, tabarakAllah. Would that ya Abdullah, ya Amatallah, we've covered the matters pertaining to the types of tahara, pertaining to the classification of water, pertaining to what is a lot of water, what's a little bit of water, the vessel. We talked and discussed about istinja, istijmar. We talked about the adab related to that. And lastly, the matters pertaining to the siwak. And we also touched upon circumcision. Walhamdulillah, barakallahu feekum.